Good evening, brethren. I thought I had a message. And I didn't think I did. So I was studying yesterday all day and greater part of today, and just knowing about Jimmy and knowing the troubles that some of you have and the sorrows you've had, I wanted a message, a real message for you. And I think the Lord did give me a message. Before we turn to my text, I want you to look with me in Isaiah 43. I was just listening to that song, and I want to read this to you. This is right where that song comes from. You're very familiar with this. Verse 1 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." Let's turn now to Psalm 118. This is where my text will be. And the song we just sang said that the Lord gives a song in the night season and all through the day. We do have some night seasons, don't we? Here's my text in verse 14. "The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation." Let's read a little bit before this and after this just to get some context. Verse 13 says, "Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation." We learn this the same way David did. That is, through trials that the Lord sends that are such that we find out we just don't have strength. We find out that we're weak. We're incapable of saving ourselves. And the Lord teaches us He is our strength. Whenever the Lord first comes to one of His children, this is what He does. You recall this. I like to think sometimes about how it was when I didn't know the Lord and I didn't understand the gospel and I couldn't look into these scriptures and make any sense of it. And then I just know that somewhere along in there the Lord opened my eyes and I began to hear and see and believe the gospel. And I remember how it was at the beginning. The Lord works this in the beginning. He comes to one of His elect and He begins to make us see the greatness of our sins. What the psalmist says of the nations is how we see our sins. He said there in verse 12, they compass me about like bees. The Lord makes us see our sins as numerous as bees. So many sins that even our best deeds, our very best deeds, are sin before Him. We're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And the way the Lord makes us see our sin is by making us see His holiness. He turns you to the cross, and He makes you begin to see Christ crucified, and makes you to understand that Christ was on that cross because God is holy. It took the Lord God sending His own Son to save me from my sin. Nothing else would do. The Lord is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's plenteous in redemption. But our Lord will not clear the guilty. He will by no means clear the guilty. And every child of God that He saves must die. We must die under the justice of God. There is no exceptions. Every soul that sinneth must die. And the Lord shows us, He turns us by the Spirit and makes us behold the Lord Jesus on that cross, laying down His life in place of His people, and makes us to understand that's what it took to put our sins away. God's holy. When sin was found on His Son, He wouldn't spare His own Son. And you begin to see your sins, and you become like Isaiah when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and heard them declare, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of heaven." And he said, "Woe is me. I'm undone." And you see that, and you know that about yourself. The reason that we have comfort, the reason the Lord comes then and comforts our hearts, and is because the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross. The sin of our very best deeds had to be purged away. We had to have one that is the author and finisher of our faith, who believed God perfectly, and who suffered perfectly, and who actually bore our sin, and actually bore the wrath of God in our place, and actually put away our sin. And as He did it from a holy heart in perfection, never looking away from our God. And the Lord brings you to see that One, right there, is the Holy One. There's only one. He's the Holy One. We're not the Holy One. Not of ourselves. And He makes you see that, and He brings you to cast all your care on Christ. You behold Christ come out of that grave and go up into the glory. Look here in verse 19. This is Christ speaking. "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made." This day of grace, this day of salvation, this eternal day of perfect righteousness accomplished by the Lord is the day He made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so beholding His holiness, beholding Christ on the cross, the Lord brings us to rest all in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not the only time our Lord brings us to know our sin. That's not the only time He brings us to know that Christ is our strength. We have to be taught this over and over. He's going to grow His child. We're just a baby when we begin. He's going to grow us up into Him in all things. And one way he does this is through the flood and the fire of trial and trouble. But he's growing us in the knowledge that our Redeemer is our strength. That's the purpose of it. They're sore trials. They're trials that make us see we don't have any strength in ourselves. Verse 13, he said, "Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength." You remember Ahithophel? That was David's dear friend. But he betrayed him. He just utterly betrayed David. And when David's son Absalom stole the throne, Ahithophel went to Absalom, and this is what he said. He said, "Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed. And I'll make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I'll smite the king only." These trials make us weary and weak-handed. They make us weary and weak-handed. They make us afraid sometimes. But that's the purpose. If we're going to find out that we're weak and something of how weak we are, God does that on purpose. It's full sovereign control of our God that's working it. It brings us into these things. But he knows what we suffer. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what we suffer. He has suffered everything that his people suffer in a far greater way than we'll ever suffer it. We won't ever suffer it like he suffered it because he suffered it. If it's the devil's temptation that's making you weak-handed, he knows that. Our Lord knows what that's like. Scripture says, after his baptism, the Lord Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He knows what that's like. If it's betrayal of a friend, of a loved one, like Ahithophel betrayed David, the Lord knows that. That was a picture of Judas betraying our Lord Jesus. "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." The Lord knows that. Is it sinners? Is it our sin that's making us weak-handed and sore afraid? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your minds. You've not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Our Lord knows what that's like. If it's being left alone when somebody you love has departed, he knows that. He said in John 16:32, speaking to his apostles, he said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Our Lord Jesus knows what that is. And he's promised his people, "I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you." We could go on all night talking about our different trials and the things we suffer. But whatever it is, brethren, the Lord knows it. He's walked where his people walk as a man. He knows the weakness of our flesh. He experienced it. When he told his apostles, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak," I know our Lord Jesus is sovereign God. But in the flesh, he experienced exactly what that was. How weak our flesh is. How else is this going to be true? "We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." That's our weaknesses. All the infirmities our sin causes, he knows, he was touched with them. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, welcome to his throne of grace. It's a throne of grace. That we might find help. Oh, that we may obtain mercy. We need mercy. We're going to always need mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. Go to him. That's the purpose. Isn't that the purpose? Wasn't that the purpose of God when he first came to us and taught us our sins and showed us Christ as our strength? Wasn't the purpose to draw you to Christ? That's the purpose in every one of these troubles we face, is to bring us to him. Come to his throne of grace to obtain mercy, to help in time of need. These trials exercise us. Go with me to Romans 5. They exercise us and they teach us how faithful God is. They teach us that everything he's promised, he's actually doing it. Everything he's promised, he's doing it. And this is how he's going to grow us. In verse 1, he said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that wrought that peace. He is that peace. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We're looking forward to a day when our Lord Jesus is going to bring us to where he is, and we're going to be perfectly conformed to him. We're going to be perfectly righteous. Paul said in Galatians, by faith we wait for the hope of righteousness. We're going to be perfectly righteous one day. But we not only are rejoicing that that's so right now. We not only have that hope for that right now. Here's something else we rejoice in. Verse 3, and not only, but we glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That's waiting on the Lord. That's endurance. Trusting the Lord, waiting on him. And patience, experience. That's maturity. That's just what it says. It's experiencing God's power and God's grace. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. The Lord Jesus, by these trials and by him coming, And in your heart making you to know he is your strength. He is your all. He's growing you stronger in that hope. He's making you more patient to wait on him to come. He's making you experience his power and his grace to do so. He's growing you in that hope. Because you know, if he did that for me in this trial, he did it for me in the last one. He did it for me again in this one. And every time I face a trial, he keeps doing this for me. That just gives you greater hope. He's gonna bring me there. He's going to come and get me and bring me there. And you see the next word in Romans 5? He did this for us when we were yet what? Without strength. Verse 6, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He's saying to us here, if he did this for us when we had no strength, if he did this for us when we were the ungodly, now that he's reconciled us and made us friends with God and brought us into peace with God, he did that by his death, we shall surely be saved by his life. So he makes you see all over again, over and over and over, he is all our strength. You know, when Paul was talking about preaching, he said, we're not sufficient of ourselves. He said, we don't have any sufficiency. That's not only true about preaching. That's true about everything in our life. We have no sufficiency of ourselves. Our sufficiency in everything is God. in everything. Paul said when he had that thorn in the flesh, you know why that thorn was given to him? Because the Lord gave him an abundance of revelation. Do you want to know the Lord more? You want him to grow you in grace and knowledge of him more? He will. But you know what he will do as well? He will give you trials and troubles, because if he didn't, we would get puffed up over what he's taught us. That's mercy. That's grace. And when Paul prayed to have it removed, the Lord answered him and he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength's made perfect in weakness." How are we going to see his strength? How are we going to know he's all our strength? How are we going to rejoice to know we don't have any strength and he's all our strength? It's by God showing us our weakness and showing us he's our only strength. And so Paul, having experienced this many times, and I encourage you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and see all those things that Paul went through, you know, the stripes and the shipwrecks and just the beatings and the arrests and all the things he suffered. But he saw Christ being his strength so much that he was brought to say, "I rather glory in my infirmities. I rather glory in my total weakness, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Because when I am weak, then I am strong." We have that backwards, don't we? We think when we're strong, we think when we've got some ability about ourselves, I'm strong in faith today. No, we're not. We're dependent on the arm of the flesh. But when we're down in the valley and we're at that place where we cannot so much as lift up our head to God, and he makes you to know his grace is sufficient, that's when we're strong. That's when we're strong. When Christ is your only strength, that's when we're strong. So these trials and these troubles, they're mercies to us. They're good for us and they're needful. Anything that grows you in the knowledge of him and makes you see him in a greater light, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, the next thing he says there is, "The Lord is my song." The Lord made the children of Israel see their utter weakness when they came to the Red Sea. They could do nothing. They were hemmed in on all sides. They could do nothing. He brought them there. And then he told Moses, "Now tell everybody to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And when he carried them across that Red Sea, split it wide open, dried it up, so they went across on dry ground. They got to the other side. The Lord destroyed all Pharaoh and his army. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, "I'll sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. He's my God. I'll prepare him a habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him." He puts a song in our heart. He puts a song on our lips when we go through these things. Don't you find that to be so? We sing it. We sing all along the way. He said there in verse 15, "The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous." The voice of rejoicing, singing praise to God, is right here in his tabernacle. That's what we just sang, his praises. And in the houses where the houses that his grace is upon for you that believe, you sing of him. You praise him. Why? Just the same reason Moses said, "The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly." When are we going to see that? When are we going to know that? When we don't have any strength, and he's brought us right through. That's putting the song on our heart, putting the song on our lips. Our song is all about the author and finisher of our faith. Our song is all about the right hand of the Lord. It's the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's done valiantly. Our song is of His immutable grace, how it changes not, of His never-ending tender mercies. Our song is of His sovereignty and how He rules everything on behalf of His people. I gave nations for you, He said. You're precious in my sight. I'm not precious in my sight. I see too much of my sin, and sadly, there's time I do think myself too precious. But in God's sight, God said, you're precious in my sight. That's where I want to be found precious, in His sight. In His sight. We're singing the song of His faithfulness. We're singing the song of His perfection. We're singing the song of His wisdom and His righteousness in everything He's done for us. Two different places the Spirit moved Paul to exhort the brethren to sing. One of them is in Ephesians 5:19. He said, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sing unto yourself. Sing it to your own self, just when you're alone. And when you're with your brethren that are going through anything, sing to them. And give thanks in all of it. Praise the Lord in all of it. He said in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We have a lot to be singing about. We have a lot to praise Him for. He's said through Paul, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. It's His will for us to give thanks concerning everything. And in everything that's happening in our life, that's the will of God concerning you. Whatever it is. Happy, sad, whatever. It's what God willed for you. Whatever He saw fit to send us, brethren, at any time in our life, you could not be given anything more needful and more better than what it is the Lord's given you. He wouldn't have given it otherwise. That's so. This is what Spurgeon said. He said, bless God for aching bones. Bless God for a weary head. Bless God for troubles and trials. For he who can so praise the Lord is singing a truer and more acceptable song than youth and health and happiness can present. If you can sing when it's trouble, and you can sing when you're crying, and you can sing when you're down, and really and truly thank God for sending you what you're going through, that's grace in the heart. That's grace in the heart. You know, and when we're troubled and when we're in sorrow, don't you still have joy in your heart? I mean, I'm not talking about joy like the world talks about and, you know, going around hoop-de-dooing. I'm talking about you're sad. You got real tears and you've got real bona fide trouble. But even then, in your heart, you know, it's going to be okay. Underneath of the everlasting arm, my Lord's ruling this. He laid down His life for me. It's okay. You have that joy no matter what. He's provided a whole book of songs for us to sing in the Psalms. And He's provided some really good hymn writers where we can just sing some of their songs to ourselves. Listen to this song right here. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and make His mercy known. He helps me on Him to rely. He is my strength and tower. "'Tis he that hears me when I cry and manifests his power. In every storm, in every sea, my Jesus makes a way. His light shall make the darkness flee and turn the shade to day. 'Tis he in trouble bears me up and leads me safely through. My Jesus does maintain my cup and daily strength renew." That's a good song. Find a good song with some words that just bless your heart and just sing those songs. Sing those words. If you can't carry a tune, it don't matter. Just sing those blessed words and meditate on those words. Another thing this includes is when you're renewed by the Lord, when you've been through some sort of trial and he's renewed you and shown you afresh his grace and his mercy and full salvation we have in Christ, doesn't that renew you to want to obey him? It gives you new strength and new zeal to want to obey him. You want to be, you know, if you needed mercy and the Lord showed you mercy, and he used some of your brethren to show you mercy, that just makes you love mercy. That makes you want to be merciful. If the Lord was full of pity toward you and full of compassion toward you and provided you brethren that were pitiful toward you and compassionate toward you, that just makes you want to be compassionate to others. It also makes you look at times you haven't and say, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me." It makes you not, you don't want to go around talking about your brethren and talking about their trouble. If you experience that, that makes you realize that's hurtful, that's painful. And the Lord makes you say, "I don't want to do that. If I'm going to say something, I want to speak to my brother or my sister and tell them, remind them what the Lord's done for them." That's how the Lord keeps growing us. He's weaning us a little bit more from this world. He's weaning us a little bit more from it. And he's making us see him a little better and want to be with him a little more. And he just keeps on doing it and keeps on doing it and keeps on doing it so that the Lord is my strength and my song. Now lastly, the Lord is become my salvation. Now what do you think about that wording? When you read that, what do you think about that? You know, David didn't pen this. I think it's David. Everybody thinks it is. It sounds just like some other psalms he's written. But he didn't write this at the beginning. He was an aged believer when he wrote this. And he says the Lord has become my salvation. Didn't he do that when he first called you? Didn't he make you say the Lord has become my salvation when he first called you? Yeah. But in every one of these troubles you go through, you come out of it, or not even come out of it. He can just do this while you're still in the trouble and make you see him like you've never seen him before and make you make you feel like this is the first day I really knew the Lord. He's become my salvation today. It's that real. To whom coming? We never stop coming to him. We never stop learning of him. He says this over and over to us. He didn't just say this the first hour. He says this right now, in whatever trouble you're in, right now, whatever burden you got on you, right now, whatever is making you sorrowful and making your heart break, right now. This is what he said. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He don't stop saying that to us. And we say, "Oh, he's my strength and he's my song and he's become my salvation." We're so thankful that the Lord has purged away our sin and made us the righteousness of God in him. But he is the Lord, our righteousness. Our righteousness is him. He is our salvation. We're so grateful. We're thankful that the Lord has entered into our heart and spirit, and He's taken dominion, and He separated us from sin's dominion, and He's promised that He will not again let sin have the dominion over you. He won't let you fall away. He's going to keep you. And we're so grateful for that. But it's the Lord who is our sanctifier and our sanctification. It's the Lord who is our salvation. We're thankful that He redeemed us from the curse of the law. We think about that and we think, what amazing grace that He was made a curse for us to redeem us from the curse. And we rejoice in that. But He's the Redeemer. He's my salvation. He is. Remember, notice it's true in each of these here. The Lord is my strength. He doesn't say the Lord gives me strength. He said the Lord is my strength. He doesn't say the Lord puts a song in my heart, though He does. He said the Lord is my song. The Lord is my salvation. He said to Abraham, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am. In what way is Christ our salvation? In what way is He our salvation? I got three things to say about this. First of all, He's our temporal salvation. Meaning, in this life, every day, the things we need. He's our temporal salvation. He's guiding us. He's protecting us. He's providing for us every step through this life. I wish I could stop murmuring when things don't go exactly like I want it. Because it's going exactly like He purposed it. And He's providing everything. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? I love that illustration that Don used to give about Doug. Took him out to his shop and said, here's the keys to it. Anything you want, you can come in here. It's yours. I said, his mouth fell open. He said, I gave you my daughter. You don't think I'll give you a wrench? The Lord gave His Son. He'll give us whatever we need. He's our spiritual salvation. He's our complete acceptance with God. He is the reason God says, come to my throne of grace. He's our great high priest. It's through His blood, through what He accomplished at Calvary. It's by His Spirit that we know Him. Everything about our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our spiritual salvation. We are accepted in the Beloved. Can you get over that? Accepted in the Beloved. And here is something else to think about. He is our eternal salvation. For all eternity, we're going to be saying, the Lord has become my salvation. Forever. It'll never get old. Forever. So go to Psalm 37. This is what I'm trying to say right here. This is what I'm trying to say. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Commit it to Him. Commit it all to Him. All right, Brother Rex.